I was talking to my wife when we... Is there anyone here that does not understand English? If you raise your hand. That's a trick question. Right? It's good to be with you. My wife and I are very pleased to be with you. You should say, and we are very happy to have you with us. Right? We'll try that again. My wife and I are very happy to be with you. Good. That's a good start. Okay? We are living people. Right? I'm not really interested in age. The just live by faith. You are as old as your faith is. And the Bible says, now faith. Faith is only now. You're as old as your faith is. Now. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. In case you don't know, it's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is present. It's not tomorrow. It's not in the past. It's now. We live by faith. And if we die, we die in faith. The only thing that matters is faith. Turn to somebody now and say, you were sitting next to royalty. I am so excited to be with you for this reason. At your age many years ago, I sat listening to other men who I thought I'd never get to realize their age. They were a lot older than I was. You're looking at a man much older than you, sir. I'm looking at a man who's older than me. But in faith, we are the same age. Okay? And in faith, we are the same age. Faith removes generations. There is going to come a time when Jesus comes for a generation made up of those that dream dreams and those who see vision. They're old and young. The equalizing factor is faith. Now turn to somebody and say, you're sitting next to a person with faith. Right. Now, do I need this or this? No, I need it. How many of you looked in the mirror this morning or today? How many of you have looked in a mirror today? Who? Did somebody say many times? Could you come here, please? Hello.
Hello.
I'm Kerry. Stand here because people need to hear you.
Okay.
Okay. Can you tell us something about your faith that you remember?
Beautiful.
Anything else that you'd like to tell us about your faith?
God.
God?
Yeah, I see the creation of God.
In your face?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
A good wife?
You?
A good wife.
A good?
Wife.
Oh, you see a good wife?
Yeah.
So that means you are married?
Yeah.
Is your husband here?
No.
Oh, so where is he?
At home.
At home.
Yeah.
He's looking after somebody or just staying
at
home? Yes. And how old is your child?
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
So when you look at your child, what do you see?
Everything.
Everything.
She's a miracle.
She's a miracle?
Yeah.
She is everything like you?
More.
And everything like you and your husband?
Yeah.
Is there anything else about her? Is she more than the both of you?
Is she what?
Is she more than the sum total of the both of you?
Yeah, she is.
She is?
More than we are.
Therefore, she must be?
A miracle. She's a God gift to us.
God gift.
Yeah.
So she's like him.
Yeah. I do believe.
You do believe. Because you looked in the mirror this morning or today many times.
Many times.
Because you like seeing beauty.
Yeah, I love to see what that too, but I love to see what God, you know, the hand, the miracles and what God is doing.
What God is doing.
Yeah.
And what God is doing in you and through you.
Yeah, give me smile and happiness and love.
Right.
Yeah.
Look at all these.
I was very happy to be here and come here. And
we are thrilled to have you here.
Thank you.
Do you think you could look at now all of these people and point at anyone who is like you?
All of them are good.
Are they?
Yeah.
So they would all have seen in the mirror what you saw today then?
I hope so, because
shall we try to see if that's the case?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anyone here who can remember looking in the mirror today many times? Or, no, don't go. Looked in the mirror today, sometimes or one time, and you saw beauty. We'll do it again because my sisters told me Norwegian people are very shy. So we try it again. How many of you today looked in the mirror once or many times and saw beauty? You got more hands? Shall we try again? All right. Norwegian people are also very humble. Shall we try again? How many of you today? Yes. Looked in the mirror either once or many times, and in looking in the mirror, you saw someone who was beautiful. Hands up. Nearly
there.
We get it. Okay. You're a great helper. Our sister came out and made a confession. She saw beauty. She saw someone beautiful. All right? Now, during the time we are going to be here, I'm going to talk to you about you can only become what you see. You can only become what you see. Now, here's this. This is often quoted. This is your homework tonight. Home Gilborton tonight. To find the scripture without a vision. People perish. Find out where it is. Without a vision, without the ability to see, you're not going to make it. So I want to first personalize that this evening to say this to you as I say to myself. Unless you see yourself as God sees you, you are never going to be a success. So God looked at you this morning, today, many times, constantly, not glimpses, not glances, but he's looking at us now, and he sees beauty. Or for men, he sees handsomeness. God sees something beautiful because he sees you in his Son, in whom he is always well pleased. Please understand this. You are never seen by God apart from him seeing his Son. Apart from seeing his Son. We are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. In him we move and have our being. It is Christ in us who is the hope of glory. God only sees us in his Son, and his Son is always pleasing to his Father. So that makes you pleasing to God all the time. Now, can I say this to you? I'm going to take you now to a scripture where most Christians are challenged. The greatest things that challenges Christians, did you want to know what it is? All right, if you turn with me, please, to to the second letter of Peter, chapter 1. Second letter of Peter, chapter 1. And the translation of the Bible I have with me at the moment is the New Living Translation. So I will read it from the New Living Translation. I'll read it slowly so that you can understand the English here. 2 Peter, chapter 1, reading from verse 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1, reading from verse 1. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. I am writing to you, saints, in Gulbarton tonight. I am writing to people who share the same faith as we have. That's us. It's not a book that's not relevant for now. This letter is written to us now. I am writing to such people. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Not something. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. The greatest challenge to Christians is to believe God's promise. If you will believe God's promises to your life, God's promises, you'll never fail. He has given to us exceeding great, not great, exceeding great and precious promises, whereby we can become partakers of God's own divine, his own nature. You can walk like God in nature in this world. The Apostle John wrote like this. He said, do you not know that you are as he is in this present world? Christians have this book. They say we believe the Bible. And then they talk about their problems and their challenges and their difficulties. You say, where's the promise in here that can tell you how to overcome that? I believe the Bible. No, go into the Bible and find a promise. Find a promise. Let me tell you a man that experienced a promise from God that shook him to his foundation. He was 86 years old. Anyone 86 yet? No. He was 86. His name was Abraham. Not Abraham, Abraham. And God told him, you're going to have a son through Sarah. You're going to be the heir of nations. Nations are going to be blessed through you. Your inheritance, that the people that are going to come through faith, through you, count the stars, count the sand on the seashore. It's going to be that number. I'm going to give you a sum. 86. Sarah was barren. Couldn't have children. They tried to have a child, nothing materializing. Sarah looked at Abraham and said, it could well be that through my maid, you'll have a son. Take her, have a son through her. And a child was born called Ishmael. And God said, it's not through her. I promise to give you a son through Sarah. Went by. This 86-year-old man became a 99-year-old man. And he looked at himself. And he looked like a withered piece of oak. And he looked at his wife. He spoke well of his wife at all times. But she knew, this is impossible. She looked at herself, impossible. God said to him, it's 13 years since I spoke to you. By the time next year comes, you'll have a son. A promise from God will never be activated in your life till you take it and use it. Could you reach my wallet, sir, under there? It's a fat one. Yeah, thanks. Thank you. This is an English £10 note. Round five, £10. Probably worth about 100 kroner, thereabouts. The English notes, there's a 5, there's a 10, there's a 20, there's a 50. There is a 100, which is only used for commercial reasons. But on every note in England, something is written. And this is what is written and signed by the chief cashier of the Bank of England. And it says this. I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of whatever the note is. I promise to pay the holder of this note, if they present it. You'll never get goods in the store if you don't present the money. Let me give you an illustration. Last Christmas, my wife and I were in a church in Cardiff, and as I went in, we took our place in near the back row. And they had a lot of people they'd invited to this meeting who were homeless. And as I had gone into this meeting, an older gentleman came to me, and he said this, my boy, then I realized I was young. He said, my boy, and he put it into my hand, he said, this is for you. I said, thank you very much. So I looked at this and thought, wow. It was a £50 note. So I put it in my pocket. £50 for Christmas. So as I'm standing in this room, I looked over, and suddenly I saw a man who clearly represented the homeless people. And the Holy Spirit said to me, give him the money. I said, I've just had it. I've only just been given this. That's right, he said. I gave it to you, so you give it to him. So See, not all money given to you is for you. That's why God says about your tithe. Not all the money you get is for you. All the money you get is for you to steward. So that particular morning, I had this 50 and God said, give it to him. I said, right, Lord? I said, I don't really know if I'll have opportunity in this meeting to give it to him. And just as I said that, the elder stood up and said, we'll take a break. Go and meet somebody you've not met. I thought, we've just started the meeting. So we took a break and I went over to this gentleman. I said, excuse me, sir, my name is Kerry. And we've never met before. And I'm not sure if we will ever meet again. But I want you to know that God loves you. And he told me to give you this. God bless you. Have a good day. That's all. There was a Christian man sitting next to him that I knew. He didn't know what I had done. He just saw me talking to this gentleman. So a few weeks later, when I arrived in the meeting in this particular church to speak there, the Christian man saw me and he said, could I have a word with you? I said, sure. He said, at Christmas time, he said, did you give that man £50? I said, yes. He said, do you know what happened to that man? I said, no. Well, he said, he'd been a guest of Her Majesty the Queen at one time. That means in England, he'd been in prison. I could see something. Wow. I thought I'd better explain. I go, wow. So he said he went out of that meeting and he looked at this note. And he'd never seen a £50 note before. And the first thing he thought was, is it genuine? Is it real? So he didn't want to get in any more trouble with the police. So he kept it in his pocket. So days went by, he was homeless on the street, then he got hungry. And then he was thinking, I'd like to buy some food. But he still had this note in his pocket, but he didn't want to get in trouble with the police because he wasn't sure if it was real. But then the Christian brother said, but he took courage and he went to the supermarket. And he picked up a basket and he went round and he put some food in the basket and he put food in the basket and then he came to the checkout, to the place where you pay. And he said, suddenly, he said, his legs went to jelly. And he went in his pocket, and he thought, I hope it's genuine. If not, I'm going to be a guest of Her Majesty the Queen again. So he said, he reached out to the lady, and she was looking at him because he wasn't smartly dressed. And she took it off him, and she looked at, it's £50. And she looked at him, and he said he was quivering. And she looked at him and looked at the note and looked at him again. And then she went into the little drawer that she had, and he thought she's about to press a button to let people know we've got a problem. But she took out a kind of a pencil, and she put it over the note, and she looked at him again, put the note into the till, and took out change, and he had coins coming back to him. And he was so relieved. He was so excited that he had pound coins. He thought, it works! And he put the food in the bag, and he walked out very slowly from the store, thinking, somebody's going to call me at any moment. But he got outside and he thought, It was real. He could have died on the street if he'd not presented the note. There are Christians dying because they're not presenting the promises. Do you have a promise from God? Let me take you to a scripture. The book of Deuteronomy. It's the scriptures, okay? Some Christians say it's the Old Testament. It doesn't apply, but... Yep, that's the one. Hello. How are you? Good to meet you. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say glory to God. Say, Jesus is wonderful. And I am wonderful.
Yes.
There you go. Does that make you feel better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Most wonderful.
Most beautiful. Most precious.
Yes.
Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Here's the reading. The Lord our God has secrets known to no one. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. This is my version of reading. The Lord has secrets known to no one. You know one of the secrets God knows that you don't know and I'll never know? The time when Jesus is coming. No man knoweth that hour, only the Father. If you ever see anyone saying, I know the time Jesus is coming, you can immediately say, you're a false prophet. There is something no man will ever know until Jesus comes. Hallelujah. It's a secret that only God knows. Then he says, but we are not accountable for them. We are not accountable for what we don't know. But we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us, that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. You are not accountable for what you don't know, but you are accountable for what you do know. Here is something the Bible says. Every time you speak in tongues, you build yourself up. You build yourself up. You make yourself strong. You build yourself up. Therefore, if you want to be strong, you've got to build yourself up. That is, you must pray and speak in tongues as often as you can. You ever wondered why the devil doesn't want you to speak in tongues? Because he doesn't want you to be strong. You ever wondered why people come out with theologies of saying tongues is not important? Because what they are saying is of the devil. What they're saying is of the devil. God says this, if you pray in unknown tongues, you speak mysteries to God. You're speaking to God. Every time you've got opportunity to pray to God, use that way. If you hear anyone saying you shouldn't speak in tongues, they're telling you, you don't need to speak to God. God wants us to talk to him all the time.
Amen.
The devil says, don't speak in tongues. You just say, Katos hamakutulila bakasa. You let him know that in my house we speak in tongues.
Yeah.
Got to be bold. Got to be strong. Let the devil know where you stand.
Yeah.
I was in a church at one time one of the men said to me, he said, you shouldn't say so loudly those things. The devil might hear you. I want them to hear me. You've got to be bold.
Yes. Amen.
You're living in a country where they're trying to silence you. You say something from the Bible, they're against abortion, and they're for abortion, and you're against abortion. They're against this, and you're for this. Everything you say you're for, the world says they're against. In other words, don't say those things. Don't you know you're stupid? You don't know anything? Intelligent people don't say those things. Only radicals say those things. That's right. I'm not intelligent, and I'm radical, and I'm a fanatic, and I'm a fundamentalist, and I love Jesus, and I'm totally for these things. I believe the Bible. So say it. Please understand this. We've got to take our world. Somebody shouted at you, I don't like you. You need to shout out, but I love you.
Yeah.
Let them know loudly that you're coming after them. No. They ever tell you, I'm never going to speak to you again. You say, that's all right, but I'm going to keep talking to you. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. 10,000 thanks to Jesus. There are things that I don't know, therefore I don't need to worry about them. I'm not accountable for them. I don't know. But the things that I do know, I am accountable. Now tell me something in God as a Christian that you know. What is it that you know about either God or you know about yourself since you became a Christian? I'm about to play the violin. See if you can hear me play the violin. Can you hear that? No. If you said yes, I'd say you need a white coat. You need to take you to hospital. So I've just asked you a question, but you're as silent as the violinist. What has God shown you about yourself or about him that you know? I've seen that about him. He is always faithful. I'm only shouting out loud because you may not have heard what the lady was saying. I am saying it for your benefit. He's always faithful. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Now you say, oh, kind of. Now you need to be like that in meetings. Somebody in the meeting, say, let's see, church, which church are you in? In Bergen?
No, in Oslo.
In Oslo.
Yeah.
So you sit in a circle or you sit? Or you sit on the floor or on a chair?
No.
On a chair, okay. Is Robert with you? Robert?
Yeah.
That's right. So now you may say, in Oslo, in the meeting on Sunday or whenever you're there, you will say, God is faithful. Never say that. God is faithful!
Amen.
And the rest go, yes, he is!
Yes.
Amen.
Amen!
Glory to God!
Yes.
You set off you trigger something.
Yes.
You set off a train of events.
Yes.
By what you say.
Yes.
See? In the meeting. God's people meeting should never be in a meeting that's silent. That's for the dead. I'll say no more about that. So, he is faithful. Anything else that you know about God? He is kind. He is loving. Hello. I'm Kerry. Ezekiel, and you shouted out,
ever merciful.
He is ever merciful. Anything else? He is strong.
Yes.
He is mighty.
Yes.
He is the truth.
Yes.
He is righteous.
Yes.
He is God.
Yes.
Never say he is God like he is faithful. He's got to be bigger than faith. You know? He is God.
Yes.
Silence.
Glorious.
He's glorious.
Yes.
He is almighty. Now you notice this. We are being asked, what has he shown you about himself? Now my dear friend in the front row here, who is looking at his the technology. I'm around the world. But he's looking at his technology. He says, God is almighty. You know? He has said, this is what I see about God. What has been revealed to him, he is now accountable for. Listen. No matter what situation he will ever face, no matter whatever challenge, no matter what difficulty, he will always be able to say, God is almighty. Somebody said, God. No matter what the challenge on health, no matter what the challenge about the mind, no matter what the challenge of habit, no matter about the challenge of relationship, no matter about the challenge of finances, no matter what the challenge is, the cry is, God! What he's saying is, he's equal to all of that. Bang, at the telephone. There's power in this voice. Turn to somebody and say, he's funny. Thank you. But what has been revealed to you about God, that now makes you accountable. And what has been revealed to you is yours. It's yours. Somebody said right at the beginning, he's faithful. That is, he'll never, ever, 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 ever let you down. He'll never walk out on you. You will never be able to say, God, I'm alone. You say, no, I'm faithful. I promise to be with you. Not only when you started the journey, but I told you I'll be with you all the time. I'm faithful to that. This is what it means. He's given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. And if you know that, make every effort to take them. Most Christians I meet fail because they believe the circumstance over the promise. They believe their difficulties is greater than the promise. A person of faith, forget the label of apostle and prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher, I am just like you. I am a believer. He's also a believer. Didn't you all believe it? We've all been redeemed by the same blood. We've got the same word. We've got the same promises. We've got the same spirit. We've got the same God. We've got the same Father. We've got the same Son. We've got the same world to live in. We've got the same faith to live by. And there comes the rub, or that's where the rubber hits the road. Some Christians believe, some live by faith and the others do not. But the Bible says, Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. Book of Romans, the just shall live by faith. Book of Galatians, the just shall live by faith. Book of Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. Not just preachers. Not just apostles. Not just the prophets, the evangelists, pastors and teachers, or elders and deacons and helps ministries. No. They're just you and me. Live by faith. So my wife and I, we take promises. And we live our life accordingly. You say this, Lord, we're going into a situation. We need the resources. He said, I told you, I will look after you. He said, that's okay. People say, what about the tickets? And what about the... Don't worry about that. The Bible doesn't say, pray for finance. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. God doesn't want you on your knees begging for money. Once you see he's your supplier. When you suddenly realize that God is not only your healer, he's your health. Big difference. Big, big difference. God wants us to walk in health. The secret thing. You don't need to worry about. Here's another issue for you. We're closed in because I can see some of you like this. It's okay. It's not this section. Not this section. I didn't want you to miss anything. But it's not this section. Can you do that again for me? Can you, yeah, just do that. I wish I had a camera. Once you see what God has revealed to you, you take it. See, faith, I could put it as simply as this to you. Faith is the word of promise that is suddenly quickened to you. You receive a quickening. And suddenly, that's mine. That's mine. The thief comes. What's he come to do? To steal? Kill? Destroy. Understand this. The devil will never leave you wounded. It's not his intention. He's going to kill you. Stone dead. Understand the war that you're in. You're fighting against somebody that basically it boils down to this. Either he kills you or you kill him. I'm not talking about military battles and weapons. I'm just saying the devil, the thief has come to steal. What's he going to steal? He's going to first, he wants to steal your identity. We came into this country, we carried a passport. It's our identity of getting into Norway. There are many places in this world that I travel to, the thing that we hang on to most of all is our passport. Because there are many people that want our identity. The devil wants your identity. He wants to take from you your identity. He wants you to stop looking in the mirror and seeing yourself beautiful. He wants to stop you looking in the mirror and seeing yourself as royalty. He just wants to tell you what he thinks about you. You're no good. You're a failure. You're a dropout. You'll never make it. You're not like them. If they only knew what you're like, they would also write you off. Those are the things he says. You just say, I am who he says I am.
Amen.
How many of you ever seen a film called, no, you Christians. There was a film made. There was a film made called The Lion King. It's a film. And well, in this story, it's about a big lion and a little cub who happens to be the son of the big lion. And the big lion, he gets killed by a bad lion. And the little cub is to grow up because he is the heir to the throne of lions, the king of the jungle. But he doesn't believe that. He feels he's no good. Never make it. He just doesn't behave like a lion. He's just a dropout. One day he goes and he looks in the pool of water. And as he looks in the pool of water, he sees a big lion. And the voice says to him, "That's who you are. That's who you are." You were thinking I'm walking towards you. No, you are absolutely right. Are you related to Ezekiel? Yes. Do you know you have got a great husband? And you, sir, have got a great wife. You know? So I'm just confirming what you believe. And you've told her that today. And you tell her that every day. Don't you? Well, tell her now. Hear me carefully. To prevent you losing your identity, you need to talk to yourself. Talk. And anybody here talk to themselves? Now, those of you that raised your hands, you will never serve in a jury in a law court. They will immediately strike that one, strike that one, strike that one. They talk to themselves. And then if you say, "I hear God," that's really a no-no. You're not even in the court, you're in a hospital. But talk to yourself. Sit down in the meeting sometime and say, "Oh, I'm a king. I'm royal. Father, I just want to thank you that you've made me just as I am. The world belongs to me because it belongs to you. And I am there with Christ. And all things belong to him. And you've chosen me, so thank you. And I sit here in total peace and enjoyment." And then I turn to someone and say, "Do you know what? I've just been talking to my Heavenly Father. It's a great privilege for you to sit next to me." Turn to somebody and tell them that. Now you understand, that's a very simple test. If you were embarrassed, it means you've not really seen it. I can guarantee today, if the King of Norway came to this building and sat where you were sitting and turned to you and said, "It's a privilege for you to meet me," I don't think he would be embarrassed or intimidated. You know why? He knows who he is. This is where we all have to come to. As young as you are, as old as we are, we have to live in this world knowing who we are. We're just not nobodies. He has made us somebodies. Kings, priests of the Most High God. That you look at people and you go into society and think, "I have the means and I have the things available to me that can help anybody that I meet." He has told me to lay hands on the sick. Told me to lay hands on the sick. All I have to do is lay hands on the sick. He said, they will recover. All I have to do is this. He says, he'll do the rest. This is an act of obedience in faith. He's the healer. You pray for people to receive the Holy Ghost. You lay hands on them. He does the rest. He's the baptizer.
Amen.
You talk to people about coming to Christ, and they come to Christ. You may say, we led them to Christ. Yes, they repented, and they believed. But the Holy Ghost brought them into the body. In other words, we do what he tells us to do, and he will do what we can't do. But God is not prepared to do for us what he wants us to do for ourselves. Do you know that God doesn't have to believe? God doesn't have to believe in himself. He says, he that comes to God must believe that he is. He's not thinking upstairs, who am I? When I come to God, God isn't there thinking, I wonder who he thinks I am. Who am I? He's not looking at his son and say, who am I? He hasn't got a big mirror in heaven thinking, who am I? Aren't I beautiful today? He's not like that. God's not like us. But he who comes to God must believe that he is, not what he is, must believe that he is, that he is. He is God. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18, I think. It's important for us to understand that. Somebody said earlier about being filled with the Holy Ghost. My friends, my brothers and sisters, we'll deal with this tomorrow. Do you know that the Holy Spirit has come? Do you know that he's arrived? Where has he arrived? Where is he? He is.
In our heart.
Yes, he's in you. What's your name?
Erasmus.
Erasmus. Erasmus. I read about Erasmus today. I thought, I'm meeting Erasmus. But Erasmus is so good to meet you. You know, Erasmus is a very famous historian. But it's nice to meet Erasmus. But he said, the Spirit of God is in his heart. It's in his life. He knows that. Now, the thing is this. He can't say to the Holy Spirit, hop out, jump out. Holy Spirit, jump out of me. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit said, I've jumped in. I'm going to jump out. You know why? He said, I'm never going to leave you. Never going to forsake you. I'm in you permanently, and I'm abiding. And out of your innermost being, Please understand this. This is a jug of water. I haven't got the jug of water, so this is by illustration only. Let your fantasies go. Right? And this is the vessel. This is the cup that I'm drinking from. Now, a lot of Christians got this idea. Fill me, Lord. Months later, fill me, Lord. He ain't like that. Here is a staggering truth. If you knew who it is who's talking to you, Jesus said to the woman of Samaria, you would have asked of me drink. For the water that I give to you will be as a well, springing up within you. And listen to these words. And he who drinks shall never, ever, never, ever, never, 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 ever thirst again.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Wow. Oh, God, never thirst again. That's what he says. Well, Lord, I've been thirsty a long time. He said, yeah, it's because you've not understood. It's not been revealed to you that the person who's come to live in you is a well springing up. Rivers of living water from out of you, enough for you to drink. Please understand, it's not external drinking, it's internal drinking. On the day of Pentecost, when the building was shaken together, there's a lot of Pentecostals now, and the building was shaken together, brother. And fire came upon their heads, brother. And he said, that's fantastic. And the Holy Ghost came, brother. Yes, he did. And he filled them. Not the building shaking. Not important. Not the fire on the head, like an Indian. No, not important. The importance was the Holy Spirit has come into them. Do you know that whatever you face in the world, the answer to every situation is already in you? Ooh, I get excited.
Hallelujah.
I better not have done too much. My body's a little more frail these days. But even I skip more than some young people. I see young people are like gnomes. You see a garden gnome? Do you have garden gnomes in Norway? Little like China things in the gardens, little pixies. It's like you see worship leaders like that, and they, oh, they got a guitar and you're singing a joyful song, and they go, you suddenly say, tell your face what it's like inside. The thing is, perhaps they don't want to tell their face what it's like inside.
Yeah.
Because what it's like inside is worse than the face.
Yeah.
But we should be like this.
Yes.
Like, I just want you to know, or friend, I want you to know this. Do you know what? Jesus Christ can save you. He can change your life dramatically. You take away all your pain, all your sorrow, all your heartache, and all your tears. He loves you. That's one way of saying it.
Yeah. Sure.
Sure. There's another way of saying, hi! Just want you to know, no matter what your problems are, Jesus can change your whole life.
Yeah.
Big smile on your face, stop. And you go. And you say, I don't know what he said to me, but boy, didn't I like it. Do you understand? You've got to demonstrate to the world you've got life.
Yeah.
What's the baby's name? Olaf? Like King Olaf? Wow, royalty in the house. How many of you heard Olaf earlier? How many of you heard Olaf earlier in this meeting? How many of you... Olaf, a little baby in the back row with his mother. Did you hear him earlier in the meeting?
No.
You didn't.
No.
Father, he heard. It's okay. Well, Olaf made some noise. And I thought, hallelujah.
Yeah.
See, you know what Olaf did? He wasn't really interested in the rest of us. He just wanted to make a noise for himself.
Yeah. Come on.
In Oslo next week, Robert may be there talking, but in the front row you may be saying, I'm really beautiful. And inside there's something good. Say it. I'm beautiful! And Robert would say, hallelujah, there's life in the house.
Amen.
You see, when you're in the meeting, people want to know there's life. People come in to visit. They're not Christians. They come in and they may use the word God. God, if it's like this, I don't want to join this crowd. They don't say anything. They sit there. Or, I can't do it like you. But when they hear sound, when they hear sound, they come to Pentecost. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit in them gave them utterance. Please understand, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, He will give you utterance, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So Christians come together, and the pastor says, how many of you are filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes! All right, put your hands up. And there's silence. None of you are filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues, and the Holy Ghost gave them utterance, and the noise sounded throughout the city.
Yeah.
And people kept running, thinking, what's that noise?
Yeah.
If you ever really want to find out Christians in the city, follow a noise.
Yeah.
You should have said, oh, yes. My sister there, it's all right. She's a wonderful sister. She's a wonderful sister, a great sister. But she's learning things in this meeting. See, I said, follow the noise. And she... Now, I don't know if she had arthritis and she's waiting for her neck to click. Or it is simply, that's right, follow the noise. People want to come to the meetings, but there's noise. Where there's triumphant singing. It's not just somebody picking up the guitar, well, let's sing a nice little lovely little song now. Blazing forth.
Yeah.
Praise and glory to the Lord.
Amen.
Just put something into it. You know, if you're going to die using all your energy. I was thinking of you. I needed a new phone. It's all right. Thank you, Father, for the phone. I had a dear friend. Many years ago, he's in Washington, D.C. in the States, and he had two orchestras. First orchestra was all made of young people, from their probably 16-year-old to about 25. Then he had another orchestra of all retired people. They were all people over 65, all playing instruments. So he came over from Washington. He was visiting us. We lived in England at the time. He came in and suddenly had a phone call in England to say Brother Bob had died. He said on the plane, he said, our Brother Bob has died. Brother Bobby was 76. He died playing the trumpet. So Brother Jim, who was the pastor, he said, glory to God, Brother Bob died playing the trumpet. His last breath unto the Lord. Had all of breath. Praise the Lord. Brother Bob left all of his breath in the trumpet. We sat there thinking, the guy died. The guy's dead. And he's rejoicing at the breath in the trumpet. As I got older, I began to see this. Don't use your breath on moaning and whinging and criticizing. Use your breath to praise God. If you're going to die, just go, ha. Or better still, hallelujah. Die in faith, giving glory to God. See? Now tomorrow, we're going to touch on other areas in life. I want you to be people of faith. Anything I can do, you can do, and you can do further. Why? Because Jesus said, greater things will you do. Just think of Jesus saying to you, greater things than you do than I've done. Think of that. Go to bed tonight thinking about that. Jesus said to you, greater things that you're going to do in my name than I've done. Greater things that he's done. Wow. What's your name, sir? Felipe?
Yep.
From?
Chile.
Yeah. Wow. Do I say hola?
Yeah. Hola.
¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien, ¿y tú?
Muy bien, gracias. Sometimes you get lucky in meetings. That's the full extent of my Spanish. See how you all laughed at that? You should have said, there's no luck, brother, in Christina. Christian living. No luck. There's a song called Silence is Golden. Have you heard it? Silence is gold. Anybody hear the song Silence is Golden? No? No. Don't learn it. But tomorrow we're going to talk about what it really means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The second session, how you can move in faith. How many of you want to move in faith? You've just moved in faith. You've just moved in faith. You say, I only put my hand up, you moved in faith. What's the difference between doing this? Do you understand? How many of you want to move in faith? How many of you want to move in faith? That's all the Lord says. Don't raise them up. Leave them up. Lay your hands on the sick. He says, I'm not sick. I don't need them going up here. Just go this way. Right? Right? This now is going to help you before you have your refreshments.